So yesterday we learned the Mishnah at the beginning of Perek HaZorek. Now we're going to start the Gemara, which is on the top of Daf Tzarivav Amid Beis. Michti. Zrika told the dot Sahi. Right, the Mishnah opens up with the Malach of Zrika. And Zrika is a Tolda Votsa. It's not an Av. It's not listed in the 39 Avos Malachas. And the Gemara says, Hotza Gufa Hechik Siva. Where do we find Hotza in the Torah? And the underlying premise of this question is that Hotza has to be codified somewhere in the Torah, which is very strange. We never found in the other 38 Malachos that we analyze one after the other and find out where the source is in the Torah. Not only that, our mission establishes that Hotzah was done in the Mishkan. And certainly, based on the equation between the Malachos of Shabbos and Mishkan, that should be enough to guarantee that there is a Malach of Hotzah. So if you look at the top line in Tosfos, he says, V'afal gav sh'oisa b'mishkan, why is the Gemara looking for a source for Hotzah in the Torah itself? It was in the Mishkan. As we said in the Mishnah, Hema ridu k'roshim yagola la'agola, he says that Hotzah is different, because Hotzah is a malacha grua, k'deperashti liel. So this sends you back to the Tosis at the very beginning of Masechta Shabbos, and Tosis establishes there that Hotzah is different than all the other malachas. It's called a malacha grua, and he proves it from the fact A, that we need a source, and the Gemara is always looking for a source in the Torah for Hotzah, and B, from the fact that the Gemara is going to look at the case of Hotzah that's described by the Torah, and it's always going to be very analytic, you know, and ask, well, exactly what happened. So, for example, Tosa says that we're not sure if the Baal HaBayis is going to be chayav for picking up something out of the hands of the Ani. Or, alternatively, if the Ani at Rosh Hashanah Yochid picks up something from the hands of the Baal HaBayis. In all these cases, we're going to get into the nuances of exactly what was the Hotzah, how was it implemented. And all this is because Hotzah is a Malacha Grua. We don't know exactly what the Torah is prohibiting. Every single Malacha has a Tachlis, it has a purpose. Rav Soloveitchik used to always call it the Cheftza Shel Malacha, it had a Cheftza. And you change and you alter the Cheftza, you improve the Cheftza. In the case of Hotzah, you relocate an object, but there's no Cheftza really. Or if there is a Cheftza, then it doesn't change, it doesn't improve, it only changes its location. And therefore, in the case of Hotzah, the Iser is not the Totzah, it's not the repercussion or the goal, as we would call it the Cheftza or the Tikkun, it's the Maisa Malacha itself. So the Maisa Malacha, that we need to find, you know, some sort of source for the Maisa Malacha. If you take a look at Rashi at the beginning of this perek, Rashi says, Al Karchich Toldahi. The Gemara assumes beyond a doubt that Zrika is a Tolda, Delo Nimneis Biavas Malachas. So that's for sure. It cannot be an Av. At best, it can be a Tolda. It's not listed in the Mishnah of the Avos. But furthermore, if you ask me a Tolda of which Malacha, V'Tolda Dotsahi. It has to be a Tolda of Malachas Hotzah. Right, there's no similarity between Zrika and any of the other 38 Malachos to be Ein Hotzahi. Right, in the case of Zrika, like the case of Hotzah, you relocate the object in a different Rishus, and therefore Zrika, if it's a Tolda, which apparently it is because the Mishnah says Yechai for Zrika, it would have to be a Tolda of Meleches Hotzah. And then we add the Tosis that Hotzah is a Malacha Gruah and has to have a source in the Torah. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, the Amar Kra. So now we go back to the Parsha of collecting the contributions for the building of the Mishkan. So Moshe first sounds the shofar and he tells them, you know, it's time to bring out your contributions. each person, each family had a contribution that came from the Ohel, from his particular tent, which is a Rishus HaYochid. And they gathered it together and they presented it to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was standing in the Machdel Leviya, and it says that at the end of this entire enterprise, Moshe Rabbeinu says, "You know what? I've received enough of gifts." And that, you know, all the classic jokes about that, you know, they had enough contributions. So don't bring back any more contributions. And once again, they blow the shofar and they notify people to stop bringing the donations for the building of the Mishkan. So Vayitzav Moshe Vayaviru Kol Bamachne. So the Gemara wants to know, what exactly was Moshe nervous about? You know, why is he getting so uptight? And he, you know, blows the shofar and tells them, you know, enough. You know, don't bring out any more contributions. We already have enough. So Moshe echad havi avi Yosef b'machne leviyah. Machne leviyah v'shus harabim havi v'kamer lehu Yisrael lo safiku v'saisu m'shus hayochid yitchu l'shus harabim to the machne leviyah. So the machne leviyah is where Moshe Rabbeinu was located. The people are coming from their private domains, from their respective olim, and they were bringing back from the Ohel, which is a Rishus HaYochid, they were contributing by carrying it out into the public area, which is called the Machne Leviyah. And Moshe Rabbeinu told them, Lo Safiku V'saisu, don't take out from your Ohel, from your Rishus HaYochid, to bring it out to Rishus HaRabim, to the Machne Leviyah. Now, there are a couple of interesting assumptions here in this Gemara. Number one, the Gemara is assuming that where Moshe Rabbeinu was, that's where they brought the gifts. It seems like the Gemara assumes that since Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who elicited these gifts to begin with, he was also the one who received these gifts. Such that now we have to ask, where is Moshe Rabbeinu located? Now, the second premise here in this Gemara, which is very challenging, is that we could fulfill the requirement of Rashi in the definition of Rishus HaRabim. Rashi, in two places, in Masechta Erevin, defines Rishus HaRabim as a makom which has shishim ribui, that 600,000 people frequent that area. Now, why do we assume that the area that was in Machne Leviyah, where Moshe Rabbeinu was located, had that condition of Shishim Ribui? In fact, the Leviyim themselves, if I'm not mistaken, we have to read this week's Parsha, but they totaled up to 22,000. So that doesn't seem to be enough for Rishus HaRabim. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, Machne Leviyah, the fourth line down from the top, Rashi says, Shohayu HaKol Mitzuyin Eitzel Moshe Rabbeinu. Look at that extra word, HaKol. In other words, we're not talking about the Leviyim that set up their tents in the area around Moshe Rabbeinu. That's called Machne Leviyah. We're talking about Machne Leviyah specifically because Moshe Rabbeinu was there. So leave out Machne Leviyah. In other words, Machne Leviyah here in this Gemara, according to Rashi, I think is going to just confuse you. It's going to mislead you into thinking, well, it's Rishus HaRabim because the Leviyim were there. Now, that doesn't make any sense because Rashi's Shita is that you need Shishim Ribui, and that's not going to be supplied by the Leviyim. But Rashi says, HaKol Mitzuyim Eitzel Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, I don't know what that means. You know, the Ramban has a whole presentation in his commentary on the Torah in Parshas Yisro, you know, why Yisro was so upset that Moshe Rabbeinu was overwhelmed with a work burden, a load that was impossible for one human being to carry. And that was because people came to ask Shilas. They were Din Torahs. And beyond that, the Ramban says that this Chassidish Ramban, that people came to Moshe Rabbeinu as the Rebbe and asked him to pray on behalf of their cholim. And there's a long discussion about this in the Ramban. But be that as it may, I don't know exactly how you're going to get Shishim Ribu within a certain time period. I don't know if you have to designate 24 hours and say that the Shishim Ribu within 24 hours. I don't know. But whatever it is, apparently the requirements of Rishus HaRavim are met by this Hakol Mitzuyim Eitzel Moshe Rabbeinu of Rashi. Hakol Mitzuyim. As if to say that every member of Klal Yisrael somehow gravitates towards Moshe Rabbeinu. I don't know within what bounds and within what period of time, that I can't answer. So the Gemara asks the obvious question, Mimai the Shabbos Koy? You know, your whole assumption is that when Moshe Rabbeinu told the people, stop bringing your gifts, maybe it was during the week, and Moshe Rabbeinu was simply telling them, you know what, I have enough. Dayenu. We don't need any more materials. We have everything that we collected and sufficient. And not only that, the pasuk itself seems to indicate that this is the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu let out this clarion call and told the people to stay home. Hamalacha haisa dayam. In that very pasuk that says, Vayitzav Moshe Vayiro kol b'machlis, it says, Hamalacha haisa dayam. You know, the Ramban has a famous interpretation that's very, you know, it's very contemporary in the society that we live in, with the women, boasting about all their accomplishments. And I'm not trying to be judgmental in any way, because I'm the last one to say anything. But the Ramban says that the women folk were the ones who really brought the contributions, and that's what overwhelmed Moshe Rabbeinu, all that Nizmei Zav and everything else that they brought. So the Gemara now introduces a Gzeira Shava in order to prove that Moshe Rabbeinu was not just telling the people, Dayenu, we have enough. But moreover, Moshe Rabbeinu was telling them that they're not allowed to bring out their objects because it's a day of Isur Malacha. Where is this Gzeira Shava? Is Gomar Avara Avara Miyom HaKippurim. Ksiv Hacha, our Pasuk says, Vayaviru kol b'machne. So that's a pasuk in Sefer Shmos in Perek Lamed Vav, and it concludes with Lemar Isho Isho Al Yasu Od B'Malach L'Trumas HaKodesh, and it says Vayikole Ha'om Mihavi, that they were told that they should not bring out more of the contributions, and they stopped bringing the contributions. And the pasuk says Vayaviru kol b'machne. So that's the opening words in the pasuk. So what is Vayaviru kol b'machne? Ksiv hasam. Now we're talking about the parsha of Yom Kippur in Vayikra Lamed Hey. Chav Hey, I'm sorry. And there the pasuk says, Vavarta shofar trua. At the end of Yom Kippur, they blew the shofar. And this has to do with initiating the year of Yovel, but the point is that they had to wait until the end of Yom Kippur for Vayaviru, for sounding the shofar. So just like Vayaviru, in the case of Yom Kippur, it says Vavarta, shofar trua, and the same word Vavarta, the different conjugation, is Vayaviru kol b'machne in the parsha. At the end of Sefer Shmos, Moshe Rabbeinu was Malahalon. Again, we're not saying that Moshe Rabbeinu was on Yom Kippur, but Biyom Asur, Afkan Biyom Asur. Just like the shofar was blown at the end of the Yom Asur, the culmination of the Isur Malach of Yom HaKippurim. So we see that the Vaviru is in connection to a Yom Asur. So to hear Vayaviru Kol B'machne is at the end of is during a Yom Asur, meaning what's motivating Moshe Rabbeinu to blow the shofar is to notify the people that not only are they exempt from this mitzvah, meaning they fulfill this mitzvah, but moreover, they're not allowed to bring out more objects, because these materials would be going from a Rishus HaYochid into a Rishus Haravim, out into Rishus Haravim. That's called Meleches Hotzah. Now the Gemara wants to know, and all this has to be understood in the light of Tosis's introduction, that Hotzah is a Melech Grua. Ashkechan Hotzah, Hachnosa Minolat. What happens if I carry something from Rishus HaRabim into Rishus HaYachid, like the case of the Ani at the beginning of Masechta Shabbos, who stretches his arm out, and it's a full arm, he's got something in his arm, and he deposits the object in the hands of the Baal HaBayis, who is in a Rishus HaYachid, which is called Meleches Hachnosa. So the Jewish people, when they were bringing their materials, they were taking it out of the Ohel, which is Rishus HaYachid, out into the Machna Levia, which in this case has the status of Rishus HaRabim. How do we know that there's a violation of Meleches Hotzah in the case of Hachnosa, where you take it from Rishus HaYachid, from Rishus HaRabim, and you bring it into Rishus HaYachid? That also has to be derived. And guess what? The Gemara says, Ad Kan. This far we don't have to go. We don't need a pasuk for that. Why? Svarahi michdei rishus l'shusu mali afuki mali iyuli. This is a challenging piece of Gemara. I mean, I understand the Gemara's question, but I'm not so sure I'm happy with the Gemara's answer. The Gemara says, Hachnosa minalan. And Gemara says, Mali afuki, mali ayuli. What difference does it make what it's taking out? In other words, you're going, in the case of Moshe Rabbeinu, to the contributions are going from the oil out into Rishus HaRabim, or iyuli, when you're going in from a Rishus HaRabim into Rishus HaYochid. It's mali hocha, mali hasa. And basically what the Gemara is doing, I can explain this Gemara on one level conceptually, in theoretical terms. The Gemara is saying that the Melach of Shabbos is Shini Rishus. And Shini Rishus means relocating the object. It doesn't matter whether the Shini Rishus goes this way or that way, whether it's Otzah Achnasa. But nevertheless, that's to be derived from Meleches Hotzah. So it happened to be in the case of Moshe Rabbeinu, when he told Vayaviru Kol B'machne, and he notified them, Lo Safiku, etc. That means don't take it out into Rishus HaRabim. But that's called, and that's called Hotzah. But the same would apply if it's a Shini Rishus in the opposite direction. Because the Melach essentially is Shini Rishus. Now, honestly, if you were to press me, and how do I know, Azariah Berzon, you're telling me that the Melach is Shini Rishus, how do you know such a thing? So I would quote to you a Tosvis back on Daf Gimel, because the Gemara on Daf Gimel wonders what cases are included in the numbers in the Mishnah at the beginning of Masechet Shabbos called Shtaim Shein Arba. Because the Gemara actually calculates that there are many more possibilities than just Shtaim Shein Arba, Shtaim Shein Arba. And in that sugya, when the Gemara calls it Hotzol Shemeviyos Lidei Chiyuv Chatos, so Tosis says that it always involves Shini Rishus, which means the following. I'll just give you an example. That the Ani, in one particular scenario, stretches his arm out, and he's got an object in his arm, and the Baal HaBayis picks up the object. Now, in this case, the Ani did the Akira, and the Baal HaBayis did the Hanocha. And the Gemara wants to know, again, it's a complicated sugya, but why do we calculate only the Ani, and in the numbers, we don't calculate the Baal HaBayis? So the various answers to this question, the Rishonim, the Gemara calls it Asi Lidei Chiyuv Chatos, but one of the Shitas in the Rishonim that Tosis quotes is Shini Rishus. that we're not going to count the Baal HaBayis, even though he did the Akira. I'm sorry, even though he did the Anocha. We're going to count rather the Ani, who only did an Akira, even though neither of them would be Chayav, because the Meleches HaTzor requires Akira and Anocha. This one was the Oker, this is an Iyach, but we're only going to calculate the Ani in this particular scenario, because he did the Shini Rishus. He was the one who made sure that this material would cross over the bounds from Rishus HaRabim into Rishus HaYochid. And again, it goes in the opposite direction as well. And the conceptual framework here is that the Mishnah at the beginning of Masechta Shabbos is only going to calculate the person who did the Malacha. Again, he might be Potter, technically, because he left out a Hanocha, for example, or in some cases he left out the Akira, but the essence of Meleches Hotzah is Shini Rishus. So when you have a Zeh Oker and Zeh Meniach, you're going to always ask yourself which one of the two, the Oker or the Meniach, was responsible for the Iker guts, you know, the essential kishkis of Meleches Hotzah, namely the Shini Rishus. And that, I think, is to be supported by this language of the Gemara, Mali Lafuki Mali Luli, because whether it's Afuki or Yuli, there's always going to be a Shini Rishus. And that's the kishkis of Meleches Hotzah. Now, if we're going to go that far, then maybe we should take it one step further, and we should classify Hachnasa as an Av Malacha. So the Gemara says, no, that far we won't go. Miu Hotsa Av Hachnasa Tolda. In other words, even though logically both have achieved the essential malacha of Shini Rishus, and it doesn't matter which way you go, but nevertheless, when we define the Av Malacha, we're going to go back to the Pasuk, as we said before, and a malacha grew like Hotsah. We go back to the Pasuk, and the Pasuk describes Hotzah, where the people take it from their tents out to Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the Malacha. We can derive conclusions of Mali LeYuli Mali LaFuki to generate a Tolda of Hachnasa, but it remains a Tolda. And what we're going to try to analyze is Mainaf Gemina. Like, what's the difference whether you call Hachnasa an Av or call it a Tolda? Michti. Ahamachayev, ahamachayev. Whether you're doing Otzah in the framework of Moshe Rabbeinu's case, or you're doing Hachnasa when you bring it into the Rishus of the Baal HaBayis from Rishus HaRabim, is both of them are certainly Chayev. Is Amai Korile Hai Av, Amai Korile Hai Tolda. Now, watch it. You know, when you translate this Gemara literally, it could be very misleading. Because it sounds like the Gemara is asking, why is this an Av and this a Tolda? That's not the Gemara's question. We know the answer to that question. Tosus has already pointed out that in order to set up the Av Malach of Hotzah, it's not enough to come up with Svaris, and Mishkan is not enough either. You have to go back to the Pasuk itself. And the Pasuk tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu told them that you're not allowed to bring it out. So that's called Meleches Hotzah. Certainly, Meleches Hachnasa would not be a replacement, so to speak, for Meleches Hotzah. What the Gemara is asking then is, can you come up with a halachic difference as to whether or not you classify Hachnasa as an Av or a Tolda? Now, by the way, I'm very confused about one thing. The Gemara, if you recall, back in Periklal Gadol, insisted, at least according to Rebbe, I don't know if there are any Tanoim who disagree, but the Gemara quotes Rebbe, that there are only 39 Malachas. You cannot have a 40th Malacha. So, for example, you remember the Gemara asked about Kotesh. Right? Ketisha is when he pounds it and he removes the bran, you know, to make a very fine flour. And why isn't that included as an av malacha? So the Gemara says, I can't allow Kotesh into the membership club. Why? Because then we would jack up the number from 39 to 40. Okay, the Gemara's not happy because Gemara says, well, you have Zora, Bora, Merakeh, let's just drop one of those three and upgrade Kotesh. So Abai says that you can eat a brand muffin, you know, a brand loaf, you know, that the Ani is gonna buy a loaf of bread that had no ketisha, it only had the disha, but no ketisha. All right, fine. But anyway, you see clearly from the Gemara that we have a gzeres hakosuv. It's probably aloch lemoshe miSinai that the magic number is 39. In fact, the Gemara in Daf Mem Tes has a possible derivation from the fact that the word malacha appears in the Torah no less than 39 times. So you have a gzeres hakosuv of 39. So I'm not sure what the Gemara means over here. Does the Gemara mean that we're going to elevate, shall I say, we're going to upgrade the status of hachnasa to that of an av? Because again, once we've set up the av of hotzah, now we've broken new ground, and we forget about the fact that Hotzah is a malacha grua. The Torah is teaching us, Moshe Rabbeinu is teaching us, that you're not allowed to do this. It's a malacha on Shabbos. And once we have Mali Layuli, Mali Lafuki, why not set up Hachnasa as an Av? So again, I don't know, maybe the Gemara in its back pocket has a possibility of dropping another one of the Avos. I'm not exactly sure. So, Belineder, I'm going to check this out in a minute and see if the Birurei Yalkut HaBirurim has anything on this. But in any event, the Gemara says, my Karli Hai, you know, is let's upgrade. You know, you're very makvid to say, wait a minute, Achnasa is a tolda of Hotzah. Why not call it an Av? So apparently, you must have understood a certain objection here that there would be repercussions al pi aloch, al pi din, if we were to elevate hachnasa to the status of an av. So Gemara says, my nafkimina di avich de avos bahari adadi, if he violates two avos. Now the phrase hari adadi means behelim achas. Inamish they told us. If you have two told us of two different avos, body adodi. In all these cases, machayev tarte. But the avid avid told us the day. If you violate both the avid, it's told us. Is lo machayev elachada. You only bring one chatas. It's almost as if the av swallows up the told us. So that if we would have upgraded Hachnasa to the status of an Av, that would mean that if he violated both Hachnasa and Hotzah on the same Shabbos Behelim Achas, he would bring two Karbanos, two Chatos, because that would be considered as violating two different Avos. So it's very critical now, with a tremendous repercussion, that we classify Hachnasa as a tolda, so that if he does Hachnasa and Hotzah Be'elim Achas, then he's only going to be chayav one chatas, because that's called Av V'tolda Didei. But Shtei Avos would generate two different chatos, which again is another expression of what we call chiluke chatos, or Chiluke Malach, sorry, that Malachas Machalkos, as we discussed at great length. But let me just take a moment here and see if by chance I can find someone who's bothered by my question here. I don't guarantee that I'll find anything, but just give me a minute. He says, Svarahi, Michte Mirshusushus, Mali Afuki, Mali Iuli, Umiu Hotsa, Av Achnasa Tolda. Michti ahach mechayev, vahach mechayev, ho mechayev. He's a mai korle lahai av, a mai korle lahai tolda. So he writes here, first of all, what does Gemara mean by svara? He says, ein lilmod melachas misvara, mikomakom, kemen shachnos avotza hayu b'mishkan. Both were in the Mishkan. Therefore, ein tzarch limud elatei chashuva melacha kevin shi melacha grua lekach yesh lilmod inyan ze misvara. Okay, there's a combination of all sorts of different variables, but the svara trumps everything and tells me that hachnos is also a melacha. But now he says, amai kori lelahai av, amai kori lelahai tolda. Kavonas ha-gemara, and he seems to be summarizing the Ramban here, lishol mainaf gemina ben av letolda. He says, v'yeno shol, he's not asking, ma tam yesh lemeleches, lekro meleches hotza, av, and hachnosa tolda. That wasn't bothering the Gemara. And that we derive from the fact that hachnosa is not in the pasuk. V'hikshu kein al hachnosa v'otza. He says, she'elas ha-Gemara, he minaf gemina, what difference to make whether you upgrade hachnosa to the status of an av? Why do you insist that it's a tolda? No. He doesn't seem to be bothered by my question. All right, I'm just asking a technical question. I don't understand the halam, you know, what we, you know, what we're going to do with the number 39. Let's just see quickly, Tosis, 1 second. Not sure what he means. He seems to be saying that once it was in the Mishkan, we don't even need this for V'yesh Lomar to Bizrika Nami Ika Svara. Ah, so we definitely need a svara, and it's not enough, in a case of Malacha Grua, to simply say it was in the Mishkan. All right, that's Tosis Lashitasa. Oh, now the Gemara is Akasha. Ule Rabbi Eliezer, you squared very well with the Chachamim. And by the way, this sugya that we're about to learn, a machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Chachamim, of all places, its original is in Masechta Bava Kamma. The beginning of Masechta Bava Kamma in the Mishnah of Avos Nezikin. And the Gemara wants to know whether the Av and the Tolda in Nezikin have the same din. And in that context, the Gemara quotes this machlokas. Rabbi Eliezer holds the Mechayev HaTolda b'makom Av. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, if you violate an Av and its Tolda b'helim achas, you bring two chatos. If that be the case, then you've reduced to naught the distinction between an av and a tolda. My korli av and my korli tolda. What's the difference between calling it an av or a tolda? You said it was because if you call it an av, then if you violate the tolda of that same av, you only get one chatos. But Rabbi Eliezer holds that if you violate an av and its tolda, then you have to bring two chatos. So the Gemara gives a very strange answer. Hach da avi b'mishkan chashiva, kori le av. Hach da lo avi b'mishkan chashiva, lo kori le av. It sounds like, according to Rabbi Eliezer, there really is no difference, la locha, between the title of av and the title of tolda. It's just a question of language. You know, when we want to communicate, you know, the number of malachas that were called chashiv in the Mishkan, so we use the word av, and we calculate 39 avos. But enochinami, the toldos, although they weren't done in the Mishkan, they have the exact same identical status as the avos, and there's no nafkamina whether you call it an av or a tolda, just that the tolda was not considered chashiv in the Mishkan. Now, exactly how does that impact on the case of Hachnasa? And it would seem that at this point in the Gemara, Achnosa could be called an Av. But then you're going to have the problem that I raised before. You designated the term, or the name Av, for that which was B'mishkan Chashiva. If we assume that in the case of Achnosa, it was done in the Mishkan and it was Chashiva, then why isn't Achnosa called an Av? And that would break down that the integrity of the number 39. So you're going to have to say that Achnosa was done in the Mishkan, but it wasn't considered Chashuva. And that's why the Gemara adds the stipulation of Chashiva. Now, what gives Hautzah more of a Chashivus than Hachnasa? And the answer is that in order to build a Mishkan, what you really need is Hautzah, right? You need to get those Kalim, it doesn't have to be Kalim, it could be raw materials, or Kalim that we could convert into raw materials, from the Ohel out into the Machna Levia. I mean, that was critical in order to set up the Mishkan. So that gives a certain chashivus to Meleches Hotzah above and beyond Meleches Achnasa. Now, Meleches Achnasa was also done in the Mishkan. And if you recall, the Mishnah already pointed out that when they wanted to get the Krushim up to the Mishkan, they had agolos, and they would pass the krushim from one agola to the next agola. And that would be a case of achnasa. And why is that a case of achnasa? Because the area on the ground is called the Rishus HaRabim, right? We're right in the area of the Mishkan, so that's called the Rishus HaRabim. And we had to pick up the krushim and hand them into the agolos, which were Rishus HaYochid. So that's going from Rishus HaRabim into Rishus HaYochid, which is Hachnasa. So what boggles the mind here is that it's more important, it's more of a chashivas to get the contributions and the materials that are necessary to build the Mishkan than to actually assemble the Mishkan, so to speak. In other words, once you have all the materials, and now you have to put them together to assemble the Mishkan, you and I would say, well, that's critical. I mean, you have to assemble the Mishkan, you need a krushim, and for that you needed a hachnasa. But that's not the actual, you know, basis or the, shall we say, the underlying necessary condition for the Mishkan. The most fundamental underlying condition is going to be to gather together, you know, all the materials that we need. Maybe we could add a little extra point over here, that the Krushim went from Rishus HaRabim into Rishus HaYochid, and then from one Rishus HaYochid into another Rishus HaYochid, which would mean from one Agola, the back Agola, into the front Agola. But ultimately, the Krushim had to go from the Agola into the area of the Mishkan. You know, every Keresh had to be added to the Mishkan to erect the Mishkan. At that point already, you're in Rishus HaRabim. So ultimately, even though you have Achnasa, but all these Achnasos will culminate with a Hotzah, where you take it from the Agola out into the area where they built the Mishkan. Inami, the Gemara gives a second answer. Why do you name a Hotzah as the Av and Achnos as a Tolda? Hachtiksivi, we can add a word, Bikra, Korile Av, Vachtiloksivi, Korile Tolda. Now this takes us back to the Tosis at the beginning of this chapter on the top of the Amud, that even though the Malacha of Hotzah was done in the Mishkan, that's not enough. We need a Pasuk. And if we need a Pasuk, because in a Malacha grew, it's not enough to say it was done in the Mishkan, they sneezed in the Mishkan, that doesn't make it into a Malacha, is then the Pasuk itself is going to define that action as an Av. And since the Pasuk is limited to the case of Hotzah, therefore Achnasa can only be called a Toldah. My Nafkimina? Well, according to Rabbi Eliezer, there's no Nafkimina at all. Adisnan. Now the Gemara quotes a Mishnah on Daf Kuf, and the Mishnah says, Azorek Arba Amos Bekosel. So what happens is, he has a kosel, and the kosel is in Rishus HaRavin, and he throws an object that lands on the kosel. I guess it's a kind of a sticky object. Now the kosel itself is Rochov Arba Al Arba. So therefore it has the status of a Makom Chashuv for Hanocha. And therefore he should be chayav for a Moleches Hotza, in this case Zrika. Except for one problem. The Kosel, although it's in Rishus HaRavim, is Lemala Me'asar Tfachim, or at least the point of contact where the fig gets stuck on the wall is above Asar Tfachim. And the status of Rishus HaRavim is such that it only rises to the level of Asar Tfachim. Is therefore the Mishnah establishes Kizorek Ba'avir, and basically he is landing in a makom p'tur, even though physically it's within the Rishus HaRavim, but since Al Pi Halacha Rishus HaRavim only goes up to 10 Tvachim, and he now has landed the object 4 amos later in Rishus HaRavim, but not in Rishus HaRavim, the Hanoch is actually in a makom p'tur, therefore he's pot. Now, Lamata Me'asar Tvachim, if the height where the fig lands on the coastal is within 10 tfachim, and so that's Mamish Rishus HaRavim, is Kizorek Be'oretz, Vazorek Be'oretz Arba Amos Chayav. So the Gemara wants to understand this Mishnah. Zorak Arba Amos Rishus HaRavim Inolan De'Mechayav. So that even if I would derive Zrika from the Mishkan, that's only the Zrika of Shini Rishus. But we don't know that there's a Zrika of Arba Amos that would also be Mechayev. So in other words, there is a case of Zrika in which you're chai from Lechas Hotzah, but that's not the Zrika of Dalan Amos Rishus Rav, that's the Zrika from Rishus HaYochid into Rishus Rav. And what's going on over here is that the Gemara is assuming that within the context of Hotzah as a Malacha Grua, we cannot derive conclusions on our own. Which means the following. That we know that there is a chiyuv of Dalet Amos. And not only is there Shini Rishus, but there's Dalet Amos Rishus HaRavim as well. But now the question is, maybe that only applies to the Av Malacha, which is when you carry something, but when you get to Zrika, and you don't move with the object, you just put a force and you allow the object to relocate itself, maybe in that case, he's only chayav for Zrika mirshus l'shus. The Gemara seems to be assuming that Shini Rishus is a lot more, shall we say, profound than Dalet Amos Rishus HaRavim. That's not a Shini Rishus. And therefore, if we set up Zrika as a Toldah, how do we know that, you know, it's like sort of two strikes against you? It's like Tarati L'Reisa. Zrika on the one hand is a Tolda, and on the other hand, Dalet Amis B'Shus HaRavim is also like a Tolda. I don't know, technically I'm not sure it's a Tolda, but let's use the word Tolda in the sense that it's not, it doesn't have the element of Shini Rishus. So now, we have to ask ourselves, how do you know that Zrika, what's the basis, the source for Zrika of Dalet Amis B'Shus HaRavim? You know, Bishlemi, you could say that Zrika is a Tolda because you relocate the object of Hotzah, which means Shini Rishus. But I don't know that Zrika could be a Tolda of Dalet Amis B'Shus HaRavim. I mean, you could have asked the same question about Hachnasa, but there's no such thing as Hotzah and Hachnasa in regard to Dalet Amis B'Shus HaRavim. That distinction doesn't hold any water. But the distinction between Zrika as a Tolda and carrying something, whether it's Hachnasa, it doesn't matter whether you call it Hachnasa or Hotzah, as the Av Malacha, how does that carry over in the case of, okay, I shouldn't say it, but how does it apply to the case of Dalet Amis B'Shus HaRavim? Rav Yoshia Shekein Orge Yerios Zarkin Machtein Zeloze. So the weavers would throw their needles, their weaving needles, from one person to the other. And this was part of the Meleches HaMishkan. And we have to assume that this took place in Rishus HaRavim. Okay. All the Melechas of the Mishkan were done in Rishus HaRavim, including the Tefira. So they would throw the Machtin. So Gemara asks, Oregon Machtin Lomalahu. Usually when you talk about Meleches Tofer, as opposed to Meleches Oreg, Oreg has its own different specific Kalim that we discussed at great length a couple of days ago, but, you know, a Machat is not on the list. You know, a Machat is irrelevant to weaving. Elos, the Gemara says, let's just change the girsa. Shekein tofrei yurios zorkin machteim zelazeh. So in other words, let's say I was sewing a curtain for the sake of the Mishkan, and now it's your turn. So what I would do is, I would throw the machat. I don't know exactly, he probably wrapped it up a little bit, I don't know exactly how he did this. So we're not talking about Orge Yerios, we're talking about Tofre Yerios. And the Tofre Yerios would apparently throw the Machat from one person to the other. Now, why would they do this? Let's just see. He writes here that the weavers... I'm sorry, he writes here that the sewers of the curtains would throw their needles to each other four amos in Rishus HaRavim. Okay, so far...
I think if you mute your phone, that pitch...
Yeah, you want to try that? Oh, so now... The Gemara is assuming that when one person finished sewing, he would throw his needle to the next person on the assembly line. I'm not exactly sure why he couldn't carry it over; he had to throw it. But the Gemara asks, "How do you know what the distance between one sewer and the next was a full four amos?" V'dilma gavi adodi havi yasve. Maybe they were sitting in closer proximity. And they weren't four amos, one from the other. Perhaps what the Gemara is really asking is maybe they would hand the needle over, and there wasn't any zrik at all. So the Gemara says, "Mati hadadi b'mechatin." So they didn't sit near each other. Okay, this is social distancing. Why? Because they would reach one another, if they were too close to each other, and they could harm one another, because the needles were very sharp. So they had to distance each other, one from the other. So how much of a distance they had to establish? So he says, Dilma b'toch arba havyasi, maybe it didn't have to be a full four amos, and therefore the Gemara rejects this. Elam Rav Chizda, shekein argei reel, so get back to those who are weaving, zarkin, again, not needles, because as we said before, they didn't use needles in the process of weaving, but buchiar b'iria. Okay? So what's buchiar? He says here, in the English, he says that the precedent for throwing four amos is indeed the weavers of the curtains, who would throw the shuttle across the width of the curtain. Okay, I'm going to see if I learned how to do something here. This is going to be really cool. I never did this. Oh, let's see. Okay, one second. Okay. So he says that that Arge Urios would throw this thing called a buchiar, some sort of a utensil that you need for the weaving process, when you alternate the chassis and the what he calls the warp and the woof, right? The chassis and the arev. So you have to thread it through loops that are connected to a rod, and he's got to move it back and forth to create two panels of threads, and each panel is alternately closer to and from the weaver. So he says when he gets two panels of the chassis, and they have to be spread apart, he uses something called a shuttle to pass in between them, and that holds the spool of the chassis, of the arev, right? The arev, as we said, was one thread that is in a spool, and it allows it to unwind freely. And this is passed between them. So the weaving effect is created each time the positions of these two panels are reversed. Okay, we need a little bit of a video in order to understand this. But in any event, when they were weaving the curtains of the Mishkan, each section was four amos wide and 28 amos long. That's in the pasuk at the end of Shmos. And when they were weaving, the shuttle would be thrown four amos between the two panels of the chassis threads. Okay, so the Gemara asks, "Valo ogdo biyado?" Even though it's true that he would throw the shuttle, but he would still hold on to part of the shuttle, so that's not called Zrika. And I guess afterwards, once the other person received it, then he would let go. So the Gemara answer is Beniska Basra. Okay, when he finishes the spool with the Arev thread, at the end of that purpose, what happens is there's a pull on the thread and it causes the shuttle to fry freely. So the shuttle reaches the end of the Arba Amos where the other weaver would pick it up, and it was no longer in the hands of the person who threw it. V'abimakom p'tur ka'azla. The Gemara thinks that it goes up above 10 tefachim, and as we said before, above 10 tefachim is Rishus HaYachid, is a Makom P'tur. Ela, Shekein Orge Yeriel Zarkin Buchiar Lisho Alehem. Okay, Lisho Alehem. Alright, you know what? It keeps getting more and more complicated, and I'm going to do a little research and try to get a little bit more of a flavor here. I was hoping there would be some sort of a video or a diagram. All right, so let me take this opportunity to first we'll note where we got up to. We're here on Daf Tzadi Vav Amid Beis, and we're about three quarters of the way down. and we're up to the beginning of the wide lines. And that's where we'll pick it up in Mirtz Hashem tomorrow.